It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. In the studio with me today are Michigan Festival of Sacred Music Executive Director and cellist and composer Elizabeth Start. We have the Music Director of First Congregational Church in downtown Kalamazoo, Michael Palmer, and we have tenor Kiwan Lambert in the studio, and we're here to talk about The Messiah Sing this Sunday. Welcome to everybody. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
So this, as always, is a joint collaboration between the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music and First Congregational Church. I wonder if people have heard this interview in years past, since we've met about every year to talk about it, if there's much new to say, because it's an institution. It's really a tradition at this point. It's the Messiah.
It is indeed.
Well, it's interesting. At one of our concerts where we had the Gospel Fest choir with us, there were people there who were like, oh, wow, there's a Messiah Sing in town?
So the word still
needs to get out more, and I think we're going to have some of those folks there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Wonderful. And with new folks coming into First Congregational Church, new members and new visitors, hearing about the Messiah Sing for the very first time, you can see their eyes open wide and go, there really is a Messiah Sing. And we announced it in worship this last week, and many came up to me after worship, interested in knowing more about it and how we do it and why we do it and how long it's been. And so
it's been exciting to see beyond that, to see the First Congregational Church become more of a center for music of all kinds.
Indeed. From folk to classical and really everything in between. And we've become more accommodating in the physical space. Recently, within the last year, we've had some major renovations in the sanctuary and choir loft space. So we have more room to play and more room to accommodate larger groups as well.
Well, Messiah Sing is this Sunday at 4 o'clock. Some people will have Messiah scores on their shelves that they can bring along.
And we'll have Messiah scores at the ready for those who would like to borrow and sing along. But we're always welcoming those who simply want to listen and usher in the Advent and Christmas season by listening and taking it all in.
Well, the piece itself is a story and a journey. So it is an opportunity to sit with this idea of Jesus being born and growing up and hitting on parts of his life, but just the miraculousness of that period.
It is, and the awe-inspiring nature of the biblical text married with Handel's music sends it into a whole different realm. And it we perform the first part. That's our tradition, and we highlight other pieces from other parts of the Messiah. But it's the first part speaks of the incarnation, and we always end with the Hallelujah chorus, and that's from the second part. But it is a transformational experience for some.
I mentioned Betsy is also a cellist, and I should bring up the fact that the performance is accompanied by a full roster of instrumental musicians.
Yes, it's a fully professional, wonderful group of people, and they always look forward to doing this as well. It's a fun afternoon. We have about an hour and a half rehearsal, I guess, and then a little break with goodies and the program. So, yeah, I never have any trouble getting folks to be available and want to play it.
Yeah. So that's one of your jobs is in putting on this event is to find the professional musicians to come out and play.
Yeah.
Many of which I'm sure you've played with many times before.
Oh yeah. A lot of them from KSO and Grand Rapids Symphonies and just, you know, there's lots of good players in town.
And Michael, you're the conductor.
I am indeed. I am fortunate enough to be before these wonderful musicians, both as instrumentalists and the soloists. And I'm very fortunate. I I don't get to work with this large of an orchestra very often, and it's a gathering of old friends and new. It's wonderful. It's my fourth year at the helm of the event, and I'm very fortunate to have Betsy and her stability, and it's just a terrific place to be.
I'm rarely called stable.
Well, George Friedrich Handel, he starts this piece with instruments. He sets the scene.
He does. He sets it with the overture, and he begins it in a very solemn way, and then moves into this wonderful, wonderful dance. And so we're going to begin the musical segment with the overture.
If you tuned in during the music, we heard the opening overture and the first aria from The Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. I'm here with the conductor, Michael Palmer, who will lead The Messiah Sing on Sunday at 4 o'clock. It's an event that's open to everyone who wants to come and sing all or part of The Messiah, section one and a plus a few bonus pieces.
Indeed.
And also here today is tenor Kiwan Lambert, and it's convenient that we just played the the tenor solo that follows the overture, and it's all coming back to me. I haven't listened to The Messiah in about a year. I didn't really remember that Comfort Ye is, or Every Valley rather, Every Valley is how the piece is introduced by the singer. Kiwan, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, well, my name is Kiwan Lambert. I am a tenor vocalist. I am studying voice performance here at the School of Music at WMU. This is my senior year, so I am getting ready to head out of here pretty soon, actually. I have another year after this, but that year is just going to be filled with general education classes and just kind of finishing up my degree so I can continue my studies in voice.
And Michael, what put you on to the voice of Kiwan Lambert?
Well, Kiwan came to First Congregational Church last year as a tenor scholar. We have four section leaders that are paid staff at the church, and the church came up with the idea of training the new generation, the next generation of section leaders. And so we developed a scholar program. It's a year-long internship, and it is a paid internship. And Kiwan, along with Maddie Wozniak, came in last year as two of our scholars and auditioned and went through the process. And then we added two, they've returned this year, and we've added two new scholars. Hannah Strayhorn is our soprano scholar, and Jordan Thomas is our bass scholar. But Kiwan came to The Messiah as all of our scholars trained and coached alongside the section leaders as we prepared for all of the solos for The Messiah. And in the event that one of the section leaders could not step in as the soloist, then the scholar would step in behind them. And with about 24 hours notice, is that right, Kiwan? Maybe 48
somewhat,
hours?
maybe a little bit less than 24, because I remember just being in my bed at 2 a.m. like, this is not going to happen tomorrow. Like, I have to stand up in front of all these people, in front of this orchestra, and prepare an aria overnight that I hadn't necessarily sang in the past before. So it was very nerve-wracking.
Howard Tietjema, our tenor soloist last year, came down with laryngitis 2 days before the event. And we called Kiwan in and said, you're up. And by golly, he stepped in and sang it with so much joy and so much aplomb really, really showed all of the professional musicians in front of him and around him that this, in fact, can be done. We were so very proud of his work last year.
Well, now you've prepared it as a soloist for a few months, I would think.
Yeah.
What is it like to prepare to sing a solo in The Messiah? Is it beyond just kind of knowing the music and how it goes?
Well, you know, I didn't really picture myself singing the Messiah solos as a tenor for at least another 10 years, I won't lie. But
because is your voice in between something?
It's not that it's in between. I just, being a perfectionist, the perfectionist that I am, I would like to give it at least 10 years of steady coaching and steady rehearsing and stuff like that, just because you, as an artist, you want to present the best that you can. Yeah. And the tenor voice is like the last voice type it takes the longest to develop as you grow older. So most tenor voices don't become mature until maybe at the 35th year of the singer, so, or 35 years down the, you know. But my experience with the solos are, I actually sang Comfort Ye in Every Valley my senior year of high school. That was my first time ever visiting the Handel's Messiah. And then, so I was comfortable with that solo. I wasn't worried about that one, but I was worried about the second one that I had to prepare, which, in my opinion, was the harder of the two. So, like I said, I was up until like 2 or 3 a.m. the night before, just like listening and marking my score and like trying to get it in my ear and like just trying to prepare as much as I can so I can make the road as easy as possible the next morning. So,
how many solos do you have to sing on Sunday?
Well, I'm actually the standby for Howard, which is our section leader and our tenor soloist right now, but I have two prepared, which includes the recitative and the arias as well.
Okay. The second aria is from part two, and it's Thou Shalt Break Them. I sang it when I was in college, and it definitely is the tougher of the two.
May I go back to the internship program?
Sure.
That you are participating in, mm-hmm. Kiwan. What have you learned, any actual leadership skills being a section leader?
I've learned tons of skills working under Michael as the choral scholar at FCC. I have section leader skills as far as my previous experiences with the university choirs here at Western. I was a tenor section leader my freshman year and collegiate singer, so I have that experience as well. But this year, I've kind of taken on myself and my fellow scholars, we've taken on more leadership skills as far as like leading sectionals, as well as just showing up a little bit early, doing some music work behind the scenes. So we're prepared for rehearsals and we're able to lead our sections during our full group rehearsals and everything.
Mm-hmm. Some of that has to do with the care and maintenance and feeding of the choir. It's a community. It's a small group community as part of First Congregational Church, and one of the aspects of being a section leader is paying attention to those within your section, both on kind of a professional basis as singers together, but also on a personal basis and building community within the community itself. And those are skills that we don't often learn in any other place, or we don't put them into motion in any other place outside of the church. These are skills that all of our section leaders, including our organ scholar, Mackenzie Hamlin, have taken on. They've taken on a larger role in that respect, and they've really done well this first semester, and I so look forward to continuing on through the balance of the season with them.
Well, whether you have to step into the soloist role or not on Sunday, Kiwan, I wish you well for your performance.
Thank you very much.
And great section leading. Maybe the tenors will prevail this year. Is it a competition?
You know, to the tenors, we're the most important people in the ensemble.
Oh, my heavens. Well, and for those who sing in the annual Messiah Sing, the tenor section is the section that is the smallest of the four. And so tenors unite. Please come out to the event and show your strength and will and fortitude and join us on Sunday.
So what if you don't know your voice type, but you want to sing anyway?
Well, if you don't know your voice type, I would suggest you can catch up with one of our choral scholars. Each one of the scholars will be in their assigned section, and we'll point them out before the show begins, and they can go speak with the section leader themselves and figure out just in a couple of moments really where they might feel comfortable.
Have you ever been tempted to or actually repeated selection during the Messiah Sing just because you feel like, well, it didn't go as well as it could, so let's start from the top of that section again?
Betsy, has that happened in the time that you've been part of this?
No, I don't recall it ever happening. There were some times when maybe it might have been a nice idea, but you know, I mean, we get through it, and
there's always more to do.
Exactly, and it's meant to be a fun experience, not a clinic. So yeah,
right.
Well, Michael, maybe you can point us toward another selection from Messiah.
Well, we're going to point you toward one of the choruses, and this is a chorus that we actually left out last year. It is, let me get it straight here, it's cut number 5, and it's one we left out, and people really missed it, and it's one of the more difficult choruses, but one of the more joyous choruses, and we're inserting it back into the lineup this year because there was enough request for it. And we're happy to accommodate where we can.
I'm speaking with Michael Palmer, Betsy Start, and Kiwan Lambert. The Messiah Sing is this Sunday in its 22nd year. It starts at 4 o'clock. Arrive a little early to pick up your score or bring one if you have one.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
We've just heard a chorus from the Messiah, which is a piece that means the holidays for many, many people around the world. This piece goes back to, what, 1723, 1725, something like that.
It was completed in 1741.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm a little off. Where did I get that
and
number?
He wrote it very quickly.
He did.
Yep. Yeah, and I know it premiered in Dublin, Ireland. That I remember.
It did.
It was for a charity event. And when it came to London, maybe it didn't take off for a little while. But Handel was still a very popular composer, so there was a lot to choose from at the time, all of his oratorios and such.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. And the first public performance in the United States was on December 25th in 1815 and at King's Chapel in Boston. And the audience numbered about 1,000, and the chorus had 90 men and 10 women in it.
Is that exciting?
Wow.
Chorus of 90 men, I can't imagine.
Were some of them in the soprano section then?
I would imagine that there were some boy sopranos, some boy altos involved, but they were supported by a small ensemble and organ. And speaking of organ, our the First Congregational Church organist, Corey Heitzig, will join the orchestra as part of the event on Sunday, and we're very proud to have that. I think this is the third year that we've included the organ in the concert, and so that's been a great blessing and a great addition to the performance.
I remember it was Graham Cowan, who was your predecessor as music director, and he was very enthusiastic about this Messiah sing, having worked in the Chicago area, I think, that has a tradition going back to the 1970s of doing a community sing of the Messiah.
Yeah, I think he actually was involved in one in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, right, as well,
okay. And he also was responsible for, rather than calling it a sing-along Messiah, he insisted on calling it a Messiah sing.
Mm-hmm. So. He did much of the prep of the conductor's score, and I am ever grateful for his work and his incredible gifts in working out, lining out the program, and B, working my way through the conductor's score. I really owe him a lot of gratitude for that.
What is your orientation during this performance? Because you will be conducting an orchestra, a chorus of people that you've already trained and know, and then the wild card crowd behind you.
Well, the chorus, the wild card is the chorus behind the orchestra.
Where do you face?
Well, in previous years, I've been up in the choir loft high enough so everybody can see when they're standing. This year, with the renovations at the church, we can now reorient the orchestra, and I'll be further back. Excuse me. I'll be actually standing on the nave floor on a couple of podiums, so I'm still high enough for everyone to see me. But for the most part, I'll be facing the choir loft and the soloists and the orchestra playing out in front of me. And with the renovations in the choir loft this year, we are going to invite participants and audience members alike to join Corey and the soloists in the choir loft. And so we have the opportunity to have singers on both sides of the orchestra.
Truly in the round.
Truly in the round. And we've never been able to accommodate that before, and this is the first season we're going to try that. We'll see how it works out. So we have more space available for people to join with us.
Back to music, perhaps?
To music. We have one of the solos that we've chosen to go with is a second version of Rejoice Greatly. It's a soprano solo from the latter part of part one. And this version is in 12:8. It's a beautiful dance version of the Rejoice. And this particular recording is Ellie Ameling.
The wonderful
soprano.
Yes. Yep. Well, let's hear it. And again, remind listeners, the concert and or sing is at 4:00 at First Congregational Church this Sunday.
This coming Sunday.
Making It Sound Easy, that's Ellie Ameling singing an aria from The Messiah, set to a jig pattern is how I would identify
it. Oh, yes. Yep.
Identify that. If you tuned in during the music, we're talking about The Messiah Sing, which is an open sing to all who would want to sing part of The Messiah in a performance with orchestra on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Maybe we should talk about some of the other soloists. There are three or four?
There are four soloists, soprano Corlin Longer-Schreck, mezzo Tammy Snyder-Knutson, tenor Howard Teachma, and bass Joseph Schreck.
All right. And along here today is tenor Kiwan Lambert, who is prepared as a second tenor, essentially, because you can't sing Messiah without a good tenor. So.
Indeed. And Kiwan was gracious enough to stand in last year when Howard had some bronchitis and laryngitis, and did just a stunning job. And we've chatted about that a bit, but I can't pronounce my gratitude enough for his ability to stand in like that.
Well, actually, I'd like to hear a little more from Kiwan about what kind of roles and parts you're preparing to do at this stage in your education. What are some of the, you know, milestones that look very good on a resume for a young singer?
I would say some milestones include a lot of studying and like just working on your technique as a singer and working on to better yourself as a musician as much as you can.
Some of the small things, actually.
Yeah, it's the small things count way much more than the bigger things, in my opinion. This past summer, I had the opportunity to study at the American Institute of Musical Studies, which is based in Graz, Austria. And I was there for 6 weeks studying classical voice and working with some of the most astounding professors and musicians in America as well as in Europe. So that was probably the highlight of my last like 5 years, in my opinion, with being in college and everything.
Well, that's an amazing program with a great reputation. And, you know, it's not just everybody who can go to this program.
That's correct. So. It's although it was a financial burden, it was musically enriching in more ways than one. You know?
Oh, you had a cultural experience too.
Yes. I was able to dive into the culture of Europe, in particular Germany and the German language and German foods and just the way they do things over there, and it's fascinating in my opinion. And I just can't wait to go back because I do plan on going back there to study in 2020. And I mean, even though it's down the road, it's just something that's on my short term goal list as of now.
That's in keeping with all singers I've met. They have professional singers have calendars that go out, you know, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So the small things include things like vowel sounds and diaphragm breathing exercises. These are the details that you want to turn into almost unconscious technique.
Singers do a lot of repetitive work in the practice room and rehearsal settings, trying to get to that top-notch performance level. And I go back to my direction under Dr. Kimberly Dunn Adams here at Western. As a singer in the University Chorale, one of the top things we work on is vowel unification throughout the entire ensemble, not just within your section, but the entire ensemble. And it's very important because it plays a big part in tuning throughout the ensemble. It plays a big part in unifying the sound and just sounding like one strong force compared to, you know, 35 solo singers or that such. And we work a lot on rhythm. Rhythm is very important to tuning and staying together and being confident in those different settings and the music and everything.
Now, you told us during the music that you live with four instrumentalists.
Three instrumentalists. Yeah.
Have they had to do some accommodation for the fact that you are a singer?
I appreciate my roommates to the moon. They do hear a lot of singing from me in the morning time, maybe 6 a.m. in the shower. And, you know, they... they don't express that they dislike it, but they do make it known that I sing a lot. I'm like, well, guys, you know, it's my instrument's inside of my body, and I have the privilege of singing basically anytime I want to. I don't have to pull out my bass or my cello and tune the strings and, you know, play scales and everything. I can just start singing and, you know, be fine for the day.
There, so far, so good.
Yeah. Everything's great.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, the Messiah Sing is at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and it's so wonderful just to hear the story of a young musician and how day-to-day you're working toward goals, small and large, and every performance is a step in a singer's life and an instrumentalist's life. Michael.
Well, I was going to say not only is this a first congregational event, we are in partnership with the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, and Betsy's just wrapping up their second full season. Is that right? No, second yearly.
This is the second year since we decided to become annual.
Become an annual event. And I know it's been an exciting year for you. And I can't thank the Festival of Sacred Music, mm-hmm. Betsy and the board, for their collaborative work on this event as well.
Yeah, I also just want to mention last week we had the Rose Ensemble here with Pifaro in collaboration actually with Bach Festival. Mm-hmm. And I've had the privilege of bringing over three of the Rose Ensemble singers to work with Kim Adams Choir. And they were so inspired. I mean, they had great things to say and were helpful with the choir, but they went away with this, wow, are they good?
The professionals from the Rose Ensemble were blown away by Western University Chorale.
Yeah. So there's a good vocal program here.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
We're lucky to have the quality of musicians we have here in Kalamazoo. Yeah. It's still a small town, however, and that goes to how we started the interview with Howard Teachma getting laryngitis and Kiwan being ready to step in. That's how it's done when we're small, but close community.
Well, and as we alluded to earlier, it's a great gathering of old friends and new friends every year. It's wonderful to have that orchestra file in and sit down and just say, "Yep, we're ready to get this going." And we know where kind of each other's foibles are, it's terrific to work with everybody. It really is.
Well, I think you wanted to show off the other tenor solo.
Indeed.
Just to get us ready.
Indeed. We're going to present here the recitative, He That Dwelleth in Heaven, followed by the aria, Thou Shalt Break Them.
He that dwelleth in heaven shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision.
The tenor solo from part three.
Two.
Two.
Near the end of part two.
I have just been so bad with facts this hour, 1726. but we are talking about Handel's Messiah and the public performance, the Messiah Sing, on Sunday at 4 o'clock. I think I have that right. First Congregational Church right downtown in Kalamazoo. There is parking, both street and parking lot. There are entrances behind and in front of the church and lots of ways to find a spot and be there on Sunday. Let's look at final thoughts. A quick round, maybe starting with you, Betsy.
Oh, well, it's always been a great collaboration since we started this, I think, in 2007. And just a joyous afternoon. I've never heard a bad thing from anybody about their experience, so come on out and try it.
It is indeed, and as I alluded to earlier, we can't thank the Festival of Sacred Music enough for their collaborative efforts, and come out and have fun. Tenors, come on.
Yeah.
We need you.
Kiwan.
I am going into this year's Messiah Sing with a lot more excitement this year, a lot more energy, I can say, and a lot more preparation. And I'm looking forward to this year's Messiah Sing, and it's just a one of a kind experience, in my opinion. And being someone who loves great works like Messiah and the Elijah and things like that, it kind of fills that hole in the holiday season, you know, that need for that great work of music as a musician. So, you know, it's something that I'm looking forward to, definitely.
And I'll be sharing it with everyone in the hall at First Congregational Church. Again, that's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And Michael, shall we end in a traditional sort of manner?
Oh, indeed. Let's end with Hallelujah.